Now, let's take a look at some of the numbers as they're trading in Chicago, because cocoa, of course, is a commodity. CME Group, we'll go with those that are growing a little closer to us here at home in Champaign, Illinois. July corn at $4.55 and a quarter, up 6 and a quarter for the day. December futures at 4.52 and a half, up 5 and a quarter. And July futures at 4.74, up 4 and a quarter cents. The soft red winter wheat trading July at 6.13 and a half, up 7 and three quarters. And the hard red at 7.30 and a quarter, 16 and a quarter higher. Soy complex now, bean futures at $14.59. That's a penny and a half lower. August at $14.01, up a quarter. November beans at $12.11, a half a cent higher. And the July futures at $12.26 and a half, up one. Bean meal at $4.89, $1.60 lower. Bean oil at $39.14, 45 cents higher. Live cattle futures in the August at $141.60, up 27 and a half cents. And September futures at $200.30, up they did make $200, son of a gun, up 47 and a half cents in the August, and that's the feeder cattle, that is, and June lean hogs at 114.37 and a half, up a buck 40. Now that I've been surprised by the numbers, let's bring in Mike Zuzulo. He's at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting, out of Atchison, Kansas. They made it, Mike. Good morning to you.
Yeah, interesting concept here going on in the feeders right now. Not only are we already tight, but I think maybe the market, in the cash market especially, starting to see these rains develop in the Texas-Oklahoma panhandle. Very bad for wheat harvest, which is ramping up in those areas. But it's really nice and timely for the stocker feeder guys that if they have lightweight feeders, if they get their grass and pasture back, they'll probably start pulling back more, send less to the feedlots. So I think you're probably in that realm of getting those feeder highs put in here. And I would suspect that by the time you get to the end of this month, Todd, you'll probably have the majority of the premium and that cash market premium in, especially before July 4th. So feeder hedges really getting hot on getting those in place before the end of the month.
All right, so let me retract that with you. So what really is happening is better pastures in Texas because of the rainfall. They're likely to keep their feeders there, so that's going to constrain supply for a moment.
Into the feedlots, exactly.
Into the feedlots. So you're not moving feeders out off the pastures. They're staying there and not going to the feedlots. That has pushed prices higher, but they'll drop then.
Yeah, I think this is where it goes back to pork and chicken are probably going to win out the day when it's all said and done this summer if we have a good grilling season, because the beef prices are getting super high. I went to my butcher this past week because I needed to put a special order in, and his steak prices were $7.99 a pound. And I said, how in the world are you doing this with boxed beef prices? He said, they're select. You want choice, you're going to be paying for choice. So at some point, those select prices will then get up to levels that are more common with choice. Then I think we're pretty much there, essentially, and then you'll start to see the pork and the chicken take over, I think, in the summer grilling.
Did you ask him what choice was?
Yes. $15.99 a pound, and that was for a pretty weak cut.
So. Oh, my gosh. Well, the price of meat is high in the case at this point, and I suppose we can watch it. Let's stay with that just for a moment, because do you expect the price of both pork in the meat case and of beef in the meat case to come down over the next year?
No, I don't. In fact, I think that the window of opportunity for putting a lot of freezer beef away or filling up your freezer for this summer and fall is probably right here, right now, when it comes to the retail sector, because like I said, they're substituting the choice for the select for the choice, and after that, then you're probably going to run more close to parity with between the select box beef and the choice box beef, because at some point that hamburger and the select steaks will drive up the price overall.
But won't that supply of the select or of the choice manage to grow because nobody's purchasing it?
I doubt it, because we're probably going to rely more upon imports, and imports are typically the select grade.
Okay, now let's turn our attention to other things at hand,
sure.
Corn and soybeans for the day.
Hey, what if I told you that July wheat and December corn were up on the week? It wouldn't feel like it, would it?
No.
No, but they are, and I think we're getting back to a mindset of let's stop talking about El Nino and pricing El Nino in, because El Nino is quite destructive when it comes to wheat harvest that needs to be cut right now in Oklahoma and Texas. and you're looking at already 7, 10, 12 bushel yields that I'm getting reports of. And if we see 6 inches of rain in the Oklahoma and Texas panhandle this weekend, you're probably going to be talking about zeroing things out. You're going to be talking about quality problems. You're going to be essentially talking about no hard red wheat for export. And so I think we're heading towards that direction. We'll just have to see if the weather models, the North American model predicting 5 to 6 inches, actually happens this weekend.
And then if you look forward for corn and soybeans?
Well, they're struggling because of more of the beans than the corn right now, I think, Todd, because the trade has been mainly buying beans and selling feed grains. But I would also say that you probably have a cap on the row crops heading into the crop report Tuesday, the supply-demand report and the WASDE numbers. You probably have a cap in place, and you may have a temporary cap in place with the wheat as well, because the biggest bear out there in the wheat market has been the USDA. So corn and beans are respectful of what the wheat's doing, but they're not going to put too much premium into the market. A higher close on the week, though, for the new crop would say a lot to the chartists, I think.
Indeed it would. Thanks so much. We'll talk with you again this afternoon.
You betcha, sir.
Mike Zuzulo is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He is in Atchison, Kansas, joins us on this Friday morning edition of the Mid-Morning Market Report. It is the 6th day of June, the 70th anniversary of D-Day. Let's take a look at the numbers as they're trading in Chicago. Wheat futures are up about 8 cents. Corn futures are up 4 to 6. Soybeans are mixed, down a penny and a quarter in the July, but unchanged in the November contract. Livestock futures on the day are trading the live cattle futures up about 60 cents in the June. August is nearly unchanged. Feeder cattle for the day have managed to trade above $200 at this hour, and they are now in the August up 32.5 cents. Of course, you're listening to WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9, HD3 Urbana. Find us online at will.illinois.edu, or if you're looking for agricultural programming, at willag.org. A quick look at the weather forecast for the day shows us sunny skies today on our way to 81 degrees, mostly clear tonight, and 59 tomorrow. A slight chance of thunderstorms and a high of 83 degrees, and more thunderstorms are likely tomorrow evening with a 70% chance of rainfall on Saturday night and a 63-degree low. That falls to 30% chance of rainfall on Sunday with a high of 77. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.